chapter number 4. I'm going to begin reading with the first verse. Now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha, saying, Thy servant, my husband, is dead. And thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord. And the creditors come to take unto him my two sons to be bondmen. And Elisha said unto her, What shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in the house? She said, Thine handmaid hath not anything in the house, save a pot of oil. Then he said, Go, borrow the vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels, borrow not a few. And when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and shalt pour out into all those vessels. Thou shalt set aside that which is full. So she went from him and shut the door upon her and upon her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. It came to pass, when the vessels were full, that she said unto her son, Bring me yet a vessel. He said unto her, There is not a vessel more. And the oil stayed. Then she came and told the man of God, and he said, Go, sell the oil, and pay thy debt, live thou and thy children of the rest. And may God bless this portion of the reading of the Word. I want you to understand or notice that, first of all, there are several wonderful truths outlined in these seven verses, and there's a lot here that are good lessons for every believer. Those of you that desire the blessings of God, there's something good here for each of us. First of all, this widow and her family. And it died. She left some bills. She had no money. The creditors had come to take her sons, since they could not pay, have come to take her sons to be bondmen, to settle the debt. And she is in dire straits, doesn't know what to do. She's desperate, and in the midst of her despair, she cries to the man of God. She asks for help. Did you know it's all right to ask God for help? Don't ever feel like you can make it by yourself. We need God. And in the first verse, after mentioning her that her husband had died, she adds, Thou knowest that thy servant, talking about her husband, Thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord. So I want to pause there for a moment and bring something to our attention if I can. She believed that her husband's living for God, her husband's relationship with God, her husband's faithfulness to God, and living for him would make a difference now when he's gone. Let me say that again. He's dead. But the way that he lived, she's believing that the way he's ordered to live before, that will somehow make a difference in our lives now. Amen. Let me leave it with you. The way you live will not only be good for now, it'll be good for eternity. If you have children, if you have loved ones, live right. Live right every day. And when you're gone, if you happen to go before they go, when you're gone, they can remember you were faithful. And maybe something from your life will even then grip their souls, help them to turn. She was right in thinking that it would make a difference. And I say that it really does. When you do what God requires, as I endeavored to preach last Sunday morning, it pays dividends, it pays real dividends. In fact, it pays eternal dividends. If you serve God, you've got a home over yonder. You've got something to rejoice about. In the second verse, when the prophet Elisha asked her, What do you have in the house? She felt as if what she had was unimportant. That didn't mean very much. It was not enough to make a difference with all the indebtedness that she had. And so she answered, Nothing, save a pot of oil. I don't have anything. The creditors have come. We have nothing to pay. Nothing to give. Nothing, save a pot of oil. But if you'll take this with you today, jot it down, let this be the most important thing right now of anything I've said. That little bit of oil, touched by God, was all that was needed. Solomon said in the Proverbs, Better is a little with the righteousness than great revenues without right. He was saying the man that loves God, he might only have a handful of this world of possessions and material stuff in his possession, but if he loves God, he's greater, he's got more than the man without God regardless of what the man has. I believe that with all of my heart. Thank God, thank God. She had more than she realized. She thought that this little bit of oil was unimportant, but really she had more than she actually realized. Because when God takes a little bit and touches it, it makes it something real good. Amen. Let me leave some thoughts with you, if I may, right now. David, the young teenager, went down to see his brothers at the battlefield. When Goliath the giant came out, I've always liked that story from the time that I was a young boy in the Sunday school. When Goliath came out bellowing and cursing God, making fun of God, David said, I'll go. And with a sling and a stone, he killed the champion of the Philistines. He had nothing, nothing, nothing but a sling and a stone. But he won the victory. What a God. What a God. Hallelujah. I read on in the scriptures how I came to the book of Judges and found this Samson, the man that God's anointed, the man that God has chosen to be the judge of his chosen people. One day with the enemy around about him, had no weapon of warfare. He picked up the jawbone of an ass and he waded into them. And when the battle was over, Samson had killed with his whole hands with the jawbone of an ass. He had killed 1,000 of the enemy. Why? Because God can anoint something that's small and give the great victory. I heard a preacher one time say that when it was all over, Samson stacked that 1,000 Philistines like cordwood. Now, I don't know that. That's not in the Bible. But he defeated the enemy. Nothing but a jawbone of an ass. Let me just use one other illustration found in the New Testament. They were receiving the offering. Jesus was sitting near the treasury at the temple, noticing those that were giving, noticing the amount that they were giving. Let me just leave this with you. God sees every time you put something in the plate. Now, I know that's nothing to shout about. But he also sees every time you don't put anything in the plate. You might not have anything. But God sees it. And God's got a record. Did you know that? God is a good secretary treasurer. He's got a record of all we've done. Here's a woman. The Bible says it's a widow woman, and she's poor. And they go by the treasury, and they're dropping in their offerings, and this woman drops in 2 mites, which equals to 1/4 of a penny. 1/4 of a penny she dropped in. But Jesus said, as the offering was completed, she has given more than them all. She gave everything she had into the offering. And listen to this. This is the important part of it all. The story of that woman giving 2 mites into an offering has been told over and over and over again for 2,000 years. It's been a blessing. When you feel like you don't have very much to give, if you give what you can, and we're not begging money, we never have. I've never had to take up a second offering to meet the bills. I've been preaching over 50 years. God's a big God. He promised me when he called me to preach, if I'd obey him and serve him and live for him, he'd meet every need. I believed it. And he's met every need of our church. What a good God! When we were paying the indebtedness on this building, cost us $800 and some. That was 1978 when we got the first loan. And so the payments were $800 and some. And just a few short years later after that, we decided to build the education building and the gymnasium. And so we raised some money and borrowed $200,000 more. Some on the board said, we can't afford it. One board member said, if God's in it, we can't afford not to build it. I like what he said, so we built it. Not just me, the board. They built it. At that time, as a young church, our payments were $3,600 a month. We're a new church. But God made every bill. They've been paid off now for years. God's a big God. He owns it all. We worried about Central Fidelity. Maybe paying them back. God owns Central Fidelity. He owns the bank. He owns it all. And he'll take care of you. And you and me. This little woman, what she did, that offering, too much, has been told a story, has been told about what she did all of these years and been an inspiration for a multitude of people because a little bit she gave was touched by God. Little as much, the songwriter said, when God is in it. In the third verse, probably told the mother to borrow some empty vessels. Buy lots of them. The reason that he said this, and I believe this myself, I believe that he wanted the woman and her sons to be a part of a miracle. He could have done whatever he wanted to do. God could have done any way he wanted to do it, but he wanted them to get involved in the miracle. So often, we would like for God to just push a button or God to do something and meet the need without us having to do anything. Remember what we taught in Sunday school. We're not saved by works. We're not healed by works. We're healed by faith. We're saved by faith. But God wants us to do something. It's good to do something. Now listen, I'm going to give you an illustration. God could have had a wealthy man or woman to go by the widow's house, give her enough money to pay off the indebtedness, put money in the bank, so that she could live with her sons the rest of her life. God could have done that. He's omnipotent. He's got all power. He could have done that. But he wanted the woman, the widow woman, and her sons to have a part. And he said, you've said that you have nothing but oil, a little bit of oil, and go have your sons to go borrow some vessels, some pots and pans, some bowls, a lot of them. Come and shut the door and take that cruse of oil that you thought you didn't have or hold anything. Take that cruse of oil and start pouring it in the pots and the pans. And when this one's full, put it in this one. And when this one's full, put it in another one. I want you to understand something today. This is so important. God can take something that is insignificant and almost nothing and make something out of it. God can take your life and my life, insignificant, unimportant, from nowhere to nobody, from nowhere. God can take you and anoint you and bless you and use you for His glory. Amen, amen. He's a big God. So the Bible says in those verses, 3-6, how that they brought the vessels, how they poured out the oil. They got involved. They were doing something. While I was preparing the sermon this week, a thought came to me. I want to mention it. I happened to be a young boy when the Second World War broke out, 10 years old. I happened to be in the service when the Korean War broke out and had a furlough cut short by President Truman. I had to report back to my base in June 1950. Happened to be alive when the war in Vietnam. Now we're involved in Iraq and in Afghanistan. And I said all that to say this. Things were different in the Second World War about getting involved than they are in all the others that I've mentioned. In the Second World War, everyone of what age, any age, got involved. We would take a wagon, 10, 11 years old, wagon, go up and down the street. Anyone had a can, canned goods, can whatever, they'd already eaten, they saved the cans. Cut the top and the bottom out, take the paper off, smash the cans, put them in the wagon for the war effort. We saved 10 for the war effort. We bought saving stamps and war bonds. Everything we could do to help the war effort. Everybody was involved. Every morning I carried papers with my brother during the Second World War. 11, 12, and 13 years of age, and every morning in the news, on the front page of the news, something about what happened in Guadalcanal, or Wake Island, or Iwo Jima, or yonder on in North Africa, or in Italy, wherever. And it's 9 o'clock at night. Parents would sit around the radio before the days of television. Sit at the radio, and a man came on by the name of Gabriel Heater. He began to tell us what had taken place that day on the war effort. Everyone was involved. And today, Sad picture. Most of Americans don't even hardly realize we're at war. We've lost thousands of young men and women. Many of them have come back maimed, but unless you have a loved one in the military, most people don't even sense we're at war. We haven't sacrificed a thing. Nothing. Maybe our taxes are high, but it seems to me if we wanted war, they'd jack them up anyhow. But let me, I just said that because everyone got involved in the Second World War. And God wants everyone to get involved today. He said to the widow woman, go buy the vessels. You do something. And the boys brought the vessels back. And they began to pour it out. Her situation looked as if it was hopeless. There was someone that said she was not at the crossroads trying to decide which way to go. She was not at the crossroads. She was at the end of the road. She was at a dead end. There was no time for choices. She had nothing, but just a little bit of oil. But listen, if you will, and I'm going to preach about this right now. Her dilemma was her trials and her tribulations and her difficulties. But listen, if you will, great blessings come from great difficulties. You want a great victory? Ask God to give you a great big battle. You know what we want? We want a great victory for little tiny battles. Oh man, we want something great to happen in our lives. God do something big, and He wants to do something big. But oftentimes we're not involved. We don't want to get involved to get those vessels. Let Him fill the vessels with oil and the rest. What a story. Great battles bring great victories. And so the Bible says in the 7th verse, and that's what I want to use as a launching pad. 7th verse. Then she came and told the man of God. He said, go, sell the oil, pay thy debt, and live thou and thy children of the rest. Pour out the oil. Verse 4, sell it. Live off the income of the oil sales as long as you live. And you'll have your boys with you. And I thought her faith was rewarded. She did what the man of God asked. She did what God required. As I preached last Sunday morning, she obeyed what the man of God said. And it brought about the tremendous results. A little bit of oil that she thought was nothing provided a sufficiency. I leave this with you today. What she got from that oil copper, that oil cruise, was better than welfare. It was better than Social Security. It was better than Medicaid. It was better than food stamps. It was better than a 401k. It was better than all of that. Mark it down. She struck oil in the kitchen. An oil well didn't run out until there was a penny. Man, that ought to be enough to shout about. That's my God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Can you imagine? I even thought about doing it. Then I thought better. I thought about demonstrating, getting a whole bunch of my wife's pots and pans. That's one reason why I thought better. Now, I was going to demonstrate filling this one up and filling this one up with that little cruise of oil. But you understand what I'm saying this morning. God's got a plan. It might not be our plan, but His plan always works. Did you ever have a plan that fell flat? Didn't turn out like you wanted it to? God's plan always works. He never fails. He's almighty. Hallelujah, hallelujah. And so as I thought about the woman's faith, and she did something about it, just like the day before, she was burdened down with all the cares of life. She was downhearted. She was in despair. She was disappointed, knowing not what to do. Her boys didn't know what to do with the boys. And now, one day later, she's got plenty. And not only that, her debts are paid, and her sons are with her, and she's got enough to live on. And God took care of her retirement. God is a good God. Amen. I told you before, in the first several years of our ministry, I was not paying any Social Security. In the ministry, I was self-employed, and I didn't know exactly how I was going, and I came to the place where I felt like I will have no Social Security when I get, if I ever get to 62. or maybe to 65. I won't have anything. And when I got to that age, I found out that there was more than I thought. Now, not enough to make me rich, because I was rich already. Because I had the Lord. And I thought since that time, I'm receiving things that I didn't even know I had. And that's a wonderful, thank God for it. But this woman, I believe I could have made it somehow without Social Security. Because when I was 65, I was still young enough to keep on working. And I've been full-time since May of 1962. And I believe if long God gave me help, that I would be able to make a living without Social Security. And in fact, I still believe that today. But the reason I'm saying all of this is this. When you feel like you have little of nothing, ask God to touch it. Ask God to come on the scene. This woman had a whole lot more than she realized. That little bit of oil that she had, touched by God, was all she needed. Whatever you have, if it's touched by God, that's all you'll need. Whatever it might be, whatever the future might seem to hold, if it's touched by God, and I jotted down some things as I was preparing the sermon, I thought about this woman burdened down with all that she had, and now she's got plenty. And it took the widow, hopeless situation, and God turned it into a victory celebration. Let me say that again. God took a hopeless situation and made of it a victory celebration. God can take things that are weighed down and lift them up and make it real for our lives. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Great difficulties bring about great blessings unto our lives. And so I want to use two or three illustrations in it today. In our study of the book of Genesis, the past several weeks and months, there was a time when Jacob had been away from home 20 years. He has deceived and supplanted his brother Esau. His brother Esau is out to kill him. He leaves home and goes to some relatives up in Syria. 20 years later, he's coming home. In the back of his mind, he dreaded it. I deceived my brother. I stole his birthright and his blessing. And he found out that Esau is coming to meet him, and he's afraid. That night, Peniel divided the family, and he went across the brook, and he prayed, and he prayed. And while he was praying, the angel of the Lord wrestled with him. And during the time of the wrestling, he would not let go. Jacob begged him, let go. And the angel of the Lord changed his name from Jacob the supplanter, Jacob the deceiver, to Israel, the Prince of God. God took a situation in Jacob's life when he was afraid and made a great victory. You remember the rest of the story? When he met Esau after these 20 years, rather than being afraid now, they hug each other, embrace each other, glad to see each other. God can change situations. Thank God. Thank God. What a Savior. Sometimes we go through some difficulties and some hard places. And we wonder how it's going to come out. Pray that God will touch it. Pray that God will come on the scene. He's able to change it all in a moment. In the 14th chapter of the book of Exodus, the children of Israel came out of Egyptian bondage. And I'm not going to tell the whole story. They got down to the Red Sea. Found out that the armies of Pharaoh was coming. Moses and the children of Israel are at the borders of the Red Sea, and there's nowhere to turn. No place to hide. Nowhere to go. Pharaoh's army is coming. Nowhere to get across. Moses prays. God gives the answer. Listen to this. God sent a nor'easter. Those of you from this part of the country know a nor'easter. A nor'easter can be pretty bad. God sent a nor'easter and rolled the waters of the Red Sea back. And the children of Israel crossed on dry land. He's a big God. Sometimes we limit God. We stand there at the river crying the blues. What am I going to do? How am I going to make it? What can I hide? Ask God to touch it. God touched the waters and they rolled back. What a mighty God we're serving. Hallelujah. Great difficulties bring great blessings. Amen. Great problems bring great victories. Help us, God. Help us, God, to reach out and believe that our God can do anything. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God made a way where there seemed to be no way. We are serving an awesome God. Hallelujah. We sing the chorus, how great is our God. How great is His name. He's the greatest one, forever the same. When He rolled back the waters of the mighty Red Sea and He said, I'll never leave you. Hallelujah. So put your trust in me. And the good news is, we're still serving the same God. Let me use one other illustration. The Apostle Paul knew something about suffering. He knew something about hardships. He knew something about difficulties in life. I'm going to read. I'm not going to ask you to turn there, but I'm going to read from the 11th chapter of 1 Corinthians. Paul said, of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes save one. I've been beaten by my own people with 39 stripes 5 different times. 3 times was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep. In journeys often. In perils of water. In perils of robbers. In perils of my own countrymen. In perils by the heathen. In perils in the city. In perils in the wilderness. In perils in the sea. In perils among false brethren. In weariness. And painfulness. In watchings often. In hunger. And thirst. In fastings often. In cold. And nakedness. Besides these things that are without, that which is within cometh upon me daily. I have the oversight of the church. To look after the needs of the church. Paul is letting us to know that he went through a lot. And he's not crying the blues. He's not boasting. He's saying if God touches it, everything will be all right. David, 1,000 years earlier, had written these words. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. And I say, amen. Paul found that to be so. He found that God's grace was sufficient. And I can say today, I have as well. Hallelujah. We are serving an awesome God. I want to read that verse from Psalms one more time and I'm going to close. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth them out of them all. Some of you have suffered and suffered and suffered physically. Some of you have children that are wayward that break your heart, and you've prayed and you've cried and you've cried and you've prayed. And I hope I can leave a word of encouragement. God has heard every prayer. God knows the cry of your heart, the burden of your soul. Don't give up. One touch of the Master. One touch of the Lord can change everything. One touch from the heaven, from the Almighty God, can change everything. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but God delivers them out of them all. Why don't you circle in your mind, if you don't circle in your Bible, the word all. Don't major on the afflictions. Don't all let that be the main thing. Let the deliverance part be the main thing. He delivers out of them all, everything. When, Brother Jones? Sometimes right now. Sometimes right into this life. Mike that's going to be ministering tonight will see a little brain tumor when he's on the deathbed. You've heard the story. God's a big God. If God touches it, brother, that's all we need. Some of you have suffered and suffered and suffered. You say, well, Brother Jones, when is He going to deliver? He said He would. He'll deliver out of all. If He doesn't deliver in this life, He will when the trumpet sounds. He's going to deliver. It's like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, I don't know about you, king, but I want you to know one thing. If the Lord doesn't keep us out of the fire, He's going to deliver us. One way or the other. And I say that this morning to this church. God's touch makes all the difference in the world. We are serving an awesome God. How great is our God today? He's bigger than we can imagine. If we'll just let Him have His way. I leave this thought, and my wife has come to the piano. We're going to sing and we're going to pray. I leave this thought. If you want a great victory, an abundant blessing, you'll have to have a great battle. There'll be a difficult time, but God will bring you through. Everybody in this church this morning, everyone that loves God in this church this morning, you've been through something. Some of you are going through something now. Brother Crawford told me a while ago that the white blood corpuscles count was supposed to be between 500 and 700 and, what were they, 17,000 or something. Way up there. And suffered and suffered and suffered. In the hospital maybe every other week. In the hospital. And so many things are happening. I want you to understand the same God that blessed the little widow woman in a wall, and she had a penny to go there. God will bless us. He's got His eyes on us. He loves this church. Do you believe that? Do the rest of you believe it? Amen, amen. God loves you. And believe Him today to just reach down His hand and touch you. And meet a need in your life and take care. There's great victory for you. There's a great blessing for you. Wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. Don't be discouraged. Look up. The redemption draweth nigh. He's coming. Serve Him. Will you stand together with me, honey? Reach